your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look at me. Let it go beyond skin deep. Take another look and see I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. I am so beautiful.
Good afternoon and welcome to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with your host, Doris Smeltzer. What does it mean to truly love the skin you're in? Keep listening and find out. Now, here's your host, Doris Smeltzer.
Welcome to this week's Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep. I wanted to be sure to give credit to the amazing singer and songwriter, Christopher Ames, who kindly wrote the theme song that you just heard for this show. Chris lives and performs mostly on the East Coast, but you can check him out at his website at Christopher, and that's spelled with a C-H, Ames, A-M-E-S, .com. As I said in last week's show, I'm with you today because of the journey that began when our 19-year-old daughter, Andrea, died of bulimia 8 years ago. She is as much a part of this show as I. And so the guest interviews and discussion on Savor Yourself will always be sandwiched between verses from her writings. Today I want to share with you a journal entry written 2 months before Andrea's death. She wrote, "I look forward to this summer as an experience to practice being my best self, as an experience that will shake my complacency so that I look at myself in the light of truth, to put into practice the imperative goals of liking and loving myself, loving my body, and recognizing both my worth and my intelligence. If I don't do that, how can I be anything but surprised when others do?" This entry goes on a bit, and then Andrea closes it with this sentence: "The brilliant cleansing truth of my weaknesses gives my strengths a chance to work hard and shine." These words sound so much like someone who is getting turned on to life again. Sadly, our daughter died before that summer, but her words share the theme of today's show, getting turned on to life again. Now, getting someone turned on to life is a big order, but it is one that is easily filled by today's special guest, Carolyn Costin. Besides being a top-notch therapist in the treatment of eating disorders for over 25 years, Carolyn is a well-known national speaker and author of numerous books, including The Eating Disorder Sourcebook, Your Dieting Daughter, and 100 Questions and Answers About Eating Disorders. I highly recommend them all. Carolyn also founded and directs the Eating Disorders Center of California and Montanito and Rain Rock Residential Treatment Centers. Her work is informed by her own experience with an eating disorder. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here with you.
I'm so thrilled to be here with you. Now, before we begin, how would someone find your treatment centers on the internet?
Probably the easiest way is Montanito.com, which is Montenido.com. The best way to remember it is Montanito stands for Mountain Nest. So it really means you know, our treatment center is sort of nestled here in the mountains. And if you get in that way, Montanito.com, it will lead you to the day treatment program and our program, Rain Rock in Oregon, as well.
Oh, wonderful. So, Carolyn, when you say those words, turned on the life, what exactly do you mean?
Well, I think it's a huge part of what happens with people with eating disorders is that it's not like they have meaningless lives, but they really lost their sense of meaning and purpose and what it's all about. So I think a huge part is not just eradicating the symptoms, you know, but it's really getting them excited about wanting to live again, about be in their bodies and be out in nature and be connected. I think people with eating disorders have become completely disconnected from spirit and soul and everything else, really. So, I mean, I have a lot to say about it.
Absolutely. What do you do to keep turned on to life?
For myself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, there's so many things. Well, I mentioned nature, and I think nature, being out in nature, and as you know, Doris, all of my treatment centers are in a natural environment, and I think if people are going to have to live at a treatment center, they should be able to be in nature in some way connected to nature. And I think hiking and walking along the beach and just going outside, planting, we have an organic garden here, you know, those are ways to do it. There are other ways in terms of going inside and how do you go inside. And meditation is one form. Doing yoga is another form, a way to be with yourself in your body, but kind of in an internal way instead of what most of the clients who come to see me are usually, if they are exercising, it's some kind of power exercise, you know, some kind of cardio push workout, you know, really meant for sort of an external goal to look a certain way or lose a few pounds as opposed to an internal goal, being able to be in their body and feel their body, be one with their body. So I practice those things myself, meditating and yoga and things like that. That makes me sound like a far out, you know, maybe fringe California therapist, but, you know, I think that those have to go along with the other traditional therapies and the other things that you do. I mean, you can get far off into either end of the spectrum, right, you know?
You sure can. But I think, too, the practices that you just described help us really not only get back into our bodies, but come back to the present moment. Because when all is said and done, this moment, that's all I have.
Yeah, well, you know, reading that thing from Andrea's journal, every time I hear something about it, it must be such an interesting experience for you to hear that. I mean, the good part is that you get to pass it on to other people, mm-hmm. and it actually rings so true. Don't miss this moment. I mean, in your life, that's huge. Other people, it's hard to get them to realize that they're putting their lives at stake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know that firsthand.
Yeah, I so do. And now, something that you mentioned that I think so many listeners may not really be aware of or understand the concept, you talked about how someone who suffers with an eating disorder, there are so many disconnections. And I know that many people may not understand what you mean by those disconnections. Mm. Can you talk about that a little bit and about how does that happen?
Well, part of it, I think, is cultural. I mean, I have to say that I think that we are, especially as females, brought up in a culture where it's pretty obvious if you look around, the propaganda anyway is that what you look like is more important than who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, we get disconnected from what's really important. I mean, how can you know what's really important when you're told all the time that's what's really important is you have the right, you know, you have the right size, you know, you wear the right size jeans and you have the right style makeup and the right kind of hair. And, you know, so I think that what we have to do is counterbalance that. I mean, what I try to do is provide the antidote to that. And I was, you know, very trapped by it. I mean, I think it's one thing to be, to want to look your best and to wear makeup and stuff. It's where you draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to help people, especially young girls as they grow up in this culture, to know, okay, it's one thing to want to look a certain way, but don't sell your soul for it. Don't betray or compromise your health for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that they often don't get that other side. And I think anyone who's certainly in the business of eating disorders, or let me take that back, in the business of parenting, in the business of child education, needs to be constantly providing the antidote for that. Because we have a problem, not just with people who have eating disorders, but you know, for every girl who has a full-blown eating disorder, there's probably 100, 200, 300 who have subclinical eating disorders, hate their bodies, don't want to go to school, can't get dressed in the morning, are acting out in certain ways, extreme dieting, and they may not have eating disorders, but they're in trouble.
Exactly. And they're certainly not experiencing any of the joy in daily living. None of that.
So, you know, you asked me that question, you know, what do I do? I mentioned nature and meditating, but also it's just finding time to do things that touch you in a way. It could be painting. It could be working with animals. One of the things we do at the treatment center is we try to get people hooked up to doing things like that. Maybe it's they used to dance when they were younger, and they're completely disconnected from that now, or they got so sick they couldn't dance, or maybe they enjoy working with animals but never thought they would be able to do that. Maybe they've never taken the time to even try to paint. It doesn't really matter. I mean, some way you have to be, you have to help people realize that life is great. You know, it's fabulous. There's so much joy, and these are people that don't experience. I mean, if they're starving themselves to death, or, you know, I don't know how gross you want me to be, but, you know, puking their guts out in the toilet. And you know, that's the grim reality of
this. It is the grim reality.
And you're right, how did that happen? How did they get disconnected? And I said, you know, they get disconnected from knowing what's really important, what's really the true meaning. They get disconnected from what I call, and you've heard me call, you know, the soul piece. They... Mm-hmm. I've had clients say to me, I don't think I have a soul. And I know there's different spiritual beliefs, but I just want to say, okay, whatever it is that's not your body, if you died right now, right, and you were here in the room and you died, what is still in the room and what's gone? Whatever you call that thing that's gone, spirit, soul, essence, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And what are you doing to help nurture that part of you?
That is just so big.
It's big.
It is so big. And the disconnections don't happen just within the individual. They happen without as well. So all the people that they are in relationship with, there are disconnections with every single one of them.
Oh, yeah, one of the biggest things about eating disorders, the more advanced the eating disorder, the more isolated.
Yeah.
The more they become very, you know, you can't go out much because all your girlfriends are going out for pizza and you can't go.
Right.
Or if you do go, you risk, you know, being found out if you go in the bathroom and purge. Or if you don't want to eat it, then you don't want to go. You start to feel like you're living a lie. You're living two lives, and so you can't tell the truth. Isolation and becoming more of a loner is a huge sign. Also with your parents, you can't tell them the truth. So there's a disconnect from all kinds of relationships. It's just another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Carolyn, thank you so much. We'll return with more from Carolyn Costin. And when we come back from break, we're going to be talking about some of the things that you do, Carolyn, as a therapist to turn clients onto life, and also talking about what if a client doesn't want to do special things or feel soulful, the ways that you help them get into that part of life.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Want to learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
And fortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out, check it out. You want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
We are back with Carolyn Costin, author and therapist specializing in eating disorders. And before the break, I was telling you a little bit about the things that we'll cover. Carolyn, what are some of the things that you do to turn clients onto life?
Well, all the things that I mentioned in the first segment we do here. You know, we have a meditation class and we have yoga here. I take him out on hikes in nature. But here's an interesting thing that I do. You know, the clients come here and a lot of programs have sort of a behavioral system where, you know, you earn points to be able to go out on passes. And, you know, if you go up the levels, then you're able to go on the outings. And I actually don't do that at Montanito. Everybody, when they come in, everybody is allowed to go out from the first week. They can go on the restaurant outing. They can go on the Sunday outing. They can go when we go to the movies. It's sort of my way of saying you don't have to earn that. That is your right. I don't care how sick you are. It's about getting you out there and getting you excited. What are you recovering for? I mean, some people really, you know, it's not just about what am I getting over. It's about where am I going? Where am I headed? So we start that from the very beginning. We do have a level system that's connected to things like exercise. You know, you have to go up the level system. You have to eat your food. You have to gain weight to increasingly get more exercise and things like that. But that's a logical consequence. It makes sense. It never made sense to me to have somebody have to earn the right to go out, you know, in the world and have a good time. They need that. And you said that thing about what if someone doesn't have a relationship to spirit or soul. You always have to meet clients where they're at. I don't ever try to force that kind of concept on anybody. If someone doesn't want to talk about it and doesn't see that, that's okay with me. I can use another word. Like I used to say all the time, everybody has an eating disorder self and a healthy self, you know, before that part deep inside, before it got disrupted, before it got disordered, before it develop problems, right? Mm-hmm. That core part that we're all born with. Mm-hmm. Call it whatever you want. I started over time calling it your soul self, but I'll just switch and use language that works for the person. But deep down, I, my own philosophical belief is that we all, you know, are souls that happen to have human bodies rather than the other way around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps me. It helps me in the work. But I think it's important for every therapist to be excited about life, but be able to be with clients on the level that they can take it in.
Yeah, it makes sense. It really does. So if a client doesn't want to do any special things, do you have ways of helping them get turned back on? Because you were saying it's not so much. So often it's. Where am I going? Not what am I getting over, but where am I going from here? And I would imagine all of that plays into helping them want, develop a desire.
Well, you know what's interesting? I mean, some people might say, like I had a client here recently that said, I hate nature, right? I'm dismayed. I'm completely dismayed. I hate nature. And I think she thought that nature was, I was trying to turn her into a nature woman, you know, like nature was something like camping and eating twigs or something. So I had to say, I was taken aback by it at first. And then I spent a couple of days, and then I sat with her out in the backyard at Montanito, which is, you know, surrounded by the foothills. And I said, let me just ask you something. Look around here, and let's say this was all paved cement, and it was all parking lot. And buildings. Now tell me, do you really hate nature? So I was just trying to find a way to have her see it doesn't have to be my way. I mean, I really do think we have to be careful. Whatever way you can bring joy, I had a client who was a model in the fashion industry. Of course I think, oh, that's dangerous, and I was worried about her. I can't be judgmental. Mm-hmm. I mean, being soulful is being compassionate and not judging and helping people exactly on the level that where they are. Mm-hmm. So she could find joy in being a model. Or I had a woman once who really couldn't get anything into anything that I thought was joyful, but she wanted to be an accountant. So how do you bring joy to that? Mm-hmm. How do you? It's really about bringing joy to whatever there is. And I ultimately try to teach people, you have a choice. It's your attitude about what you do. It's not really what you do. I think you can bring it to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want to come across like, you know, you have to meditate or do yoga. I mean, those are the first things that came out of my mouth because I think those are interesting and they're unique, but they're one side of the spectrum. It's about what you bring. Can you bring yourself, your healthy self, and experience something good in whatever you do? In going shopping, well, that's actually a good one for them. In cooking, you know, bringing soul to cooking. We have them write... We have them write blessings for a meal. Now, here are people who have the most distorted, horrific relationship with food on the planet, and what we ultimately start to do is have them write blessings for the meal. And
wow.
They actually have written the most incredible blessings I've ever heard. You know, once you've been down in the darkness with something, I mean, you're one who really appreciates the light. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. I think, too, I know that my daughter used to always call her writing, her free therapy.
Yeah.
But she mentioned, too, in her writing that it was the pain that brought a lot of the writing out of her.
Right.
So I would imagine
right.
that they've touched a place that those of us who haven't suffered in that way don't even know.
Well, that's sort of why I say, you know, watch out for a woman healed from an eating disorder, because they're going to take all that, whatever it is, that perseverance, that tenacity, that perfectionism, that anxiety, that, you know, that drive that can cause someone to, you know, lose 100 pounds. I mean, that kind of temperament, let's say,
mm-hmm.
take that and channel it in another direction towards a joyful, happy, energetic life, and it's powerful. And it's really about how we help people channel it. And I think people are lost, not just young girls, but, you know, increasingly more so young men and young boys, too. It's just the girls, you know, it's really a 90 to 95% female illness. And there's no doubt in my mind it's because the cultural emphasis on females' appearance and thinness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we need to help all kids be able to have this kind of way of appreciating themselves and their bodies and what's available in the world. It's sort of like learning reverence again and not taking things for granted, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that word.
And, okay. You know, it's not to take away from the fact that it is a legitimate illness, and you and I spend some time fighting insurance companies to prove that it's a legitimate illness. But there is a part of it, once you start the dieting and everything, some people, because of their genetic temperament or whatever, are going to take it a lot further and be hit a lot harder. But I don't think that means culture isn't partly responsible. I think it is, without a doubt. I think we share that view.
Yes, I completely agree with that. I mean, if listeners were to do an experiment and just keep themselves from looking at a fitness or fashion magazine for 1 week, just not even, and then turn the television off so that none of that exposure is coming at you, I think they'd be amazed at the difference in how they feel about themselves.
Oh, you know, I can tell you because we do that at Montanito. I mean, we don't allow them to bring the fashion magazines in here.
Mm-hmm.
And at first they're all grumbly about it because they think I'm so controlling. And maybe I am a little. But as I said, if I want to be the antidote, then I have to show them what it's like to not constantly be exposed to it. And certainly we limit television. I don't let them not have it at all, but it's very limited. And then by the time they've been here for a while, they get it, and they start realizing, and they feel bombarded when they go to the grocery store, and there are just a slew of magazines popping out saying, you're not okay just the way you are. You're
mm-hmm.
not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do this and this and this. So then I teach them to protect themselves. I mean, I'm not someone who is not affected. I'm also affected by being a female in the society. I'm affected by it. It's just how do you protect yourself and what do you want to focus your attention and your energy on, you know? And I can slip up into it like anybody and feel self-conscious about how I look and walk into a room with a bunch of people and feel that way. But it's really about what you do about that, how quickly you let it go, and how much you let it affect your life, you know?
How quickly you let it go. That's to me, that's so huge.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that I noticed with Andrea was that holding on to things that needed to be let go for her own well-being, but just the difficulty she had with that.
Well, you know, honestly, that brings things around full circle because meditation, you don't practice meditation so that you're a good meditator.
Right.
Like, what's the use of it? One of the things about it is it doesn't have a mystique. It's learning how to sit quietly and let thoughts go when they come. That's really what it is,
mm-hmm.
in a nutshell, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So the reason that you do that is so that you can practice letting go of things that do not serve you.
Right.
Letting go of thoughts like that, like comparing yourself to every other woman in the room, thinking you're not going to be able to eat because you don't like the size of your thighs, or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
learning how thoughts are going to come. And it's not about being so above it all that you never have those. It's about the meaning you make of those and how you can let them pass and, you know, focus on what's really going to bring you happiness, because that is not going to do it.
Exactly.
It's not going to do it.
Yeah. We have just 1 minute until break, but you mentioned earlier, you said doing these things with your clients non-judgmentally, and I know that that's something that came up in last week's show as well.
Hmm.
Oh, we're about to go to break. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
And also talk about the kind of reward system for getting these things. And stay tuned for more with Carolyn Costin.
Options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at andreasvoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to andreasvoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see I'm beautiful. Beautiful is me.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself Beyond Skin Deep with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
Welcome back. We are talking to Carolyn Costin, therapist and author, who is helping us get turned on to life again by sharing her joy with life and also the treatment methods that she uses with clients who come to her through her treatment centers. Carolyn, before we went to break, we had just started talking about judgmental and judging and stuff like that. And the thing that I would love for you to talk about is, what does that look like if someone is to listen without judgment, comment without judgment? How do you get someone to see and feel what that's like?
Well, this is one of my favorite topics. I think, and I always tell the clients and the family members, if they can get that piece, then I will feel really good about what I did at Montanito, because it sounds simple, right?
Oh, it does.
But it's one of the most difficult things to do. And again, to me, it goes back to sort of that a spiritual concept about having complete compassion. How do you, it's one thing when you agree with the person and you're happy with what they're doing to not have any judgment, but as soon as someone is doing something that you don't like, or they hurt you, or they did something, you know, really awful to you, or something you think is awful they're doing to themselves, it's very difficult for us as humans not to judge it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we, the way I describe it at Montanito, I mean, what I call it is truth without judgment. And every client who's come to Montanito would know what that means. And in fact, we talk about it so much that sometimes the clients come to me and they say, Carolyn, we have to have a truth without judgment session, you know, where they want to talk to somebody else in the house who's maybe upsetting them or doing something, you know. And really, I think the easiest way to describe it is you want to tell somebody something that is the truth, and you want to, them to feel good after you tell them. Or maybe not good, but you want them to stay in relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to be able to hear it. You don't want them to feel like you judge them for it. So basically, it's getting the energy out of the situation. So you don't do it when you're angry. You don't do it when you can feel in your body, you know, your pulse, you know.
Racing.
You have to center yourself and be completely balanced, take a few deep breaths, wait the next day if you have to. But it's the idea of going and telling somebody, you can even say to somebody, like, for example, if someone says to me, I don't want to get better, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to recover. And being able to say, okay, let's talk about that. You don't have to. You don't have to want to be recovered. I always start with a, okay, and hold my hands out like I'm very open, mm-hmm. open in my heart, and say, that's your choice. So let's talk about what that means, because you don't have to be recovered for me. You don't have to do it. What can you do? Maybe we can agree that you want to get better enough just to stay out of the hospital. Finding that place where the person is. But there's harder ones. For example, you know, someone hurts you. Someone does something to you. Okay, let's take the example where a client lies. We had a client here who was caught lying several times, and she had been purging and lied about it. When she finally admitted it to me, you know, my human nature, I could feel it like, oh, I can't believe you've been lying to me for 2 months, you know,
mm-hmm.
after all that we've got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, it's sweeping that part away and realizing, well, what's that going to do? She's going to pick up way more on my energy and not on the message.
Mm-hmm.
So the message was pretty honest, which is I said to her, you know, Well, it's interesting because she said, you're never going to trust me again. And so here's what's really interesting. I said, without any energy, I said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to trust you. Maybe I'm not. That all depends on what you do next. You know, I mean, someone can make a mistake, and I said, it will remain to be seen. I feel like I don't feel like I can trust you right now, but let's see what happens. You are in control of that. You will be able to, you can make a different choice next time, you know? Mm-hmm. You can make a different choice starting right now in this moment. And, you know, it's interesting because you really have to do your own work to not have energy about it when you've got someone lying at you.
You sure do.
You have to know that basically, you know what I think? Once you start doing it, it so reinforces itself.
Yes.
That it works.
Mm-hmm.
You can still set limits. Some people say, well, how could you do that? I'm not going to let people walk all over me. And I'll say, I don't let people walk all over me. Like this person that I said that to, mm-hmm. I told her, no, I don't know if I'm going to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to put parameters on her treatment to where, you know, she had to be on 24-hour watch with another staff member. And I said, I don't trust you, so you're going to have to be with a staff member. But the message that still comes across is, but I'm in relationship with you still, and I'm not angry at you. I always say, leave the judgment for some other higher beings besides me. You know, what do I, how can I sit myself in the judgment, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. I know that one of the things that, in addition to my own meditation that I practice, is also recognizing when I'm in reaction.
Yeah.
And when I'm reacting either to the situation or to an individual, and recognizing it, not trying to stop it. It's real and it's there, but also knowing that's not when I want to make any statements or do anything.
Yeah.
And if I have to, if I cannot calm myself enough to speak, then I'm just honest and I say, you know what, I can feel that I'm in reaction, so I need to take some time. And
you know, one of the easy ways I describe that, going back to this whole concept of soul and everything, I say, and I learned it from, I can't remember the author, but a book called Stand Like Mountain, Flow Like Water. It's a great book. And one of the things that he says in there is the ego reacts
mm-hmm.
because it gets threatened, you know,
mm-hmm.
our egos, but the soul responds.
Yeah.
And it's taking time to respond on a level that's not reactionary, you know.
Yes. Exactly.
And we teach that. I teach that here all the time, too. It's not just about, I always tell them, you're in life school here. You didn't just get an eating disorder. You think you came here for eating disorder treatment. But the reason you have an eating disorder is because something in your life wasn't working. Somehow you let, a lot of people died, a lot of people, but you let the eating disorder get in a way that it started helping you cope with other problems that you had. So you need to learn how to deal with your life differently, and then the eating disorder is out of a job.
Right.
And one of those ways are these concepts like truth without judgment, being able to go to their family members when they're really angry and upset with things that were done to them in the past. And, you know, some of them have good grievances.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to say, here's what you did, here's how it affected me, but leaving the judgment, anger out of it. Because if that gets in it, then that's all the person hears, and then you're escalating, and it's a fight, and you don't get anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Then you're just going to get a lot of defensiveness.
Yeah, you know, it's like the message that gets heard, anger is going to be the biggest message that's heard, and it's going to cover everything else.
Right. Now, you had mentioned to me about a reward system for getting the things that you're talking about trying to get clients into. Is it just intrinsic? It's just...
No. Well, no. What I said was we don't have a reward system like other hospital programs have a reward system where you get to earn the going on the outings by doing certain things, and that I don't do it that way because I think everybody has the right to go and do those things without having to earn it.
Right.
So it's the opposite of reward system. But you're right. What I think happens is intrinsically going out with people and having a good relationship with people and spending time with people who are non-judgmental and who do possess a lot of the qualities that I'm talking about, you know, sort of that unconditional acceptance. And the staff, I mean, that's a huge part of it, is being people that they want to be in relationship with and they want to be out there with. And so I think in some ways people feel, I've had people say, you know, on that outing, wherever it was we took them, whether it was a hike in nature or a trip to the zoo or to the movies or whatever, for that moment my eating disorder wasn't there.
Wow.
And it's like, okay, that's what it's about. Right there, that's what it's about. And that's what it can be like every day. Because there's enough of us who work here who are recovered who can say, yeah, I know what it was like, been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think like you, and look at me now. I do not have those feelings. I don't have those desires. And we really promote that you can be recovered from this. Gone, end of story, not something you deal with for the rest of your life.
I love that.
Yeah, well, it's so true. I mean, I can hardly even argue about it anymore because the proof is so, it's not only myself, but now 30 years later, hundreds and hundreds of patients who are absolutely recovered where it's just not an issue anymore. So
mm-hmm.
It's not really a fact of believing it anymore. I know that it's true. It's like the facts speak for themselves.
Yes, and that's interesting because it's such a controversial issue.
I know.
It really is.
I just want to say to the researchers who say it's a controversial, just live in my body and you would know. It's over. You know, both of my parents died when I was young. If any, you know, I've had a lot of stress in my life. And, hey, opening treatment programs is stressful.
I'll bet.
And I didn't get triggered back into it. I do think when the underlying issues are resolved and you know how to live your life a different way, it can't just be about getting rid of the symptoms, because then I think you are susceptible for it coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in my heart, and I have too much experience. I'm not that unique, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I guess I like to say I'm a little unique, but I'm not that unique in this way.
I mean,
I have staff members recovered 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, 12 years, you know, and I have. And since I've been treating people so long, I'm actually a grand therapist now, because, you see, I have treated people who have become therapists who have treated people who've become therapists. So instead of a grandmother, I'm a grand therapist.
I love it.
And these people are well. I mean, I that doesn't mean that every person is going to be recovered. I think some people will struggle with it during their lives, and I think some people want to stay connected to programs like 12-step programs that really help them and
sure.
help them, you know, deal with it one day at a time, and they can call themselves recovering. And again, I don't have any judgment about that.
Right.
I just know that there is also this other alternative in this place where people can get to where you are fully recovered and it's over.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. There need be no judgment about whether or not someone is saying, you know, I'm 2 years out, or and I will probably be dealing with this the rest of my life. If that is the thought process that they have, and that's what
if that helps them to stay connected,
yeah.
Then okay.
Yeah.
I just like to show people that there is another alternative if they want to look at it that way. And for the most part, I think people feel hopeful. The number one reason people choose Montanito is they say two things: that there were recovered staff, and that they, I have that philosophy that you can be over it.
Ah, that is so great. Don't go away. We'll be back with Carolyn Costin.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
Ugh! See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork. No.
You'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Savor yourself. Get more information on eating disorders and body image issues at AndreasVoice.org. To purchase Doris's critically acclaimed book, Andrea's Voice, Silenced by Bulimia, go to AndreasVoice.org, the GERS Books website at bulimia.com, or any bookstore.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Real Life Solutions. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Take another look and see. I'm beautiful.
Welcome back to Savor Yourself, Beyond Skin Deep, with host Doris Smeltzer. If you have a question or comment for Doris, write to her at doris@savoryourself.org. Now back to today's show.
We are back with Carolyn Costin, therapist and author extraordinaire. Carolyn, before break, I was asking you, and actually I don't even think I asked that. I don't think the listeners heard. I think it was during break. So could you share some success stories of turning a client onto something that became really meaningful to her?
Okay. I mean, so many come to mind, but I'll tell you some that are quite different. One of them was a young woman who was here who absolutely hated going to the yoga class. She just thought that was the worst thing. She had been a runner. She thought it was a joke in terms of exercise and really dragged her feet, and we had to force her to go. And over time, she started experiencing things that sort of like the metaphor of yoga. For example, if you push too hard, it doesn't work. If you stay right where your body is and just ask a little bit more of it, it does work. Mm. And all kinds of metaphors. And she ended up, after she left Montanito, has become a yoga teacher, a very good yoga teacher, and has traveled to India and had a lot of experiences. And, of course, that's what she does now, and it changed her whole life. From an attorney to a yoga teacher.
That's amazing.
And she's happy, you know. Another young woman just recently came in, and she loved animals. And we start asking, what do you love to do in your free time, if you could do anything, and just shoot for the moon. And she loved animals, and she had a bunch of pets. And so we hooked her up with the Wildlife Center, which is nearby Montanito. And so she started volunteering there. And she is now also working in a pet store, and she is going to become a vet. She's not there yet, but that's what she's going to do. We had another woman here. Every time she read her journal entries in group, it was, our jaws just dropped. Her writing skill was extraordinary, so we talked to her a lot about it. And then we started helping her get on the Internet and send away for just different writing jobs that were coming up all around the country for different magazines. And she was also a really, really brilliant girl, had been to MIT and was really interested in science. And we found a way to combine it by she got a job in, I won't say where, so she's not identified, but working for a science magazine as a writer from sending copies of I think the first story she wrote that we sent off was about global warming, and they loved it, and she went for an interview, and now she's a writer for the science magazine. Things that you wouldn't necessarily think about. Somebody has to help you get a jump start.
That is so phenomenal.
And there are many, many. I have a dancer who was so sick she couldn't dance anymore, and she was really turned off to it. Her parents had been pretty, like, dragging her to dance classes, you know, thinking, you know, she's going to be this ballerina, but truthfully, she loved like more wilder, like jazz dancing. And we started letting her, once she gained the weight and all that and got to the higher levels, and we have a transition house, so she was actually living in her transition house, and we started sending her to dance classes in L.A., and there's some really, you know, where people who want to be dancers in movies and commercials and things like that. And she just recently was in a famous, again, I won't say which one, but a famous rock star's video as a dancer. It's just a matter of encouraging and saying, look what you could have, you know. Look how it could be, and don't think you can't, you know.
It sounds as if every single one of us could use some time at Montanito.
Hey, you know, I like working here. You know, here's the thing. When I created Montanito, and that was about 12 years ago, I had worked in hospital programs. I had already, by that time, opened and run four or five hospital programs for other people, other big business, you know. And I knew when I created Montanito, I want to create a place where I would have liked to have gone when I was sick. And what were the ingredients that really helped me? And I'm not saying everybody. Like, some people leave here, they start hating yoga, they end hating yoga. Not everybody. But you have enough variety, you offer enough things, and then I say to them, whatever helped you here, whatever you loved the most. Maybe it was sitting in a circle with other women. Then go find that. Whether it was yoga, whether it was hiking, whether it was having the fitness trainer, whatever it was that made you feel good, that made you feel connected, that made you want to take care of your body, go find it. And I also tell them, look how I found it. It's no coincidence that I have Montanito. Now I get to sit in a circle with other women, you know? And I get to do it every day. And I come here and we sit in a group. And I think that's a healing thing, just doing that. Sitting with other women and telling the truth without judgment, that's a beautiful thing. And where do you get that, you know? We need more of that.
We do. I know that there were two dear friends of mine who took 4 years out of their life after Andrea died to meet with me every other week. So we were a group of three. I truly credit them with saving my life.
Wow.
Because it was interesting because during this time, I happened to read a study of women who had survived terminal breast cancer, and the study had two groups. One group met every week with a support group of other women, and the other group had everything the same except they didn't have weekly meetings with women. Only those in the support group survived.
Wow.
In that study.
It just shows you the power. I mean, I think it, love, because what else are we going to call it? You know, therapists are not supposed to talk about love, but, you know, what else are we going to call it? Is a powerful force. It is a powerful force. I mean, I guess as therapists, we're supposed to call it unconditional positive regard.
That's right.
But, you know, I mean, and sitting in a circle, it's felt. It's not just a cognitive experience. It's a felt presence.
It
and I think that it means a lot, which is why, you know, I form attachments and relationships with my clients. Every client who leaves Montanito, I have... Well, we've been open 12 years. They get a Christmas card from me. They get a birthday card from me. I mean, a relationship was formed here. It doesn't mean that I'm friends with them and I'm out having coffee with them or whatever.
Sure.
But some deeply personal things happened, and a lot of soul moments happened. And that's a connection that's worth, you know, still remembering.
Well, and given the fact that eating disorders are so much about disconnecting,
right,
to maintain that sort of connection, it seems vital. It's almost like modeling, you know, walking the talk.
Yeah. And, you know, the outcome study, I'm presenting this here at the Academy for Eating Disorder Conference in May, and I was nervous about it because, as you know, people refer me clients who have been around, you know?
Right.
You know, my group right now, hospitalized 3 times, hospitalized 6 times, hospitalized
wow.
8 times.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. I have, you know, I tell them, you guys are a rough bunch. But But the outcome study, so I was nervous about it, but this outcome study shows that, and it's a 1 to 10 year study, so it takes people, when at 10 years we analyzed the data, and we're still ongoing, but we analyzed it in 10 years, and so that meant some people had been out 1 year, some people had been gone 2, 3, 4. The average length of time they were gone was 4.5 years, and we have about 85% of both those with bulimia and anorexia nervosa, 85% of them were still either partially or fully recovered.
That's
good. And about 60% with bulimia were fully recovered, and about 40% with anorexia. And that's 4.5 years. That's good. And the average age was 30.
Wow.
So we're not talking about adolescents. We're talking about chronic, hardcore people.
We have to say goodbye. Carolyn, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Next week, Dr. Anita Johnston. And please remember Andrea's words, the brilliant cleansing truth of my weaknesses gives my strengths a chance to work hard and shine. Until next week, remember to let your strengths shine as you savor yourself.
We appreciate you spending this hour with Doris Smeltzer and Savor Yourself. If you would like to learn more about eating disorder prevention, visit our site at andreasvoice.org. That's andreasvoice.org. And be sure to tune in next week for more valuable tips on how to dare to go beyond skin deep and to truly savor yourself. We'll see you next Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Health and Wellness Channel.